Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Here's your host, Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. It is January 30th, and Arkansas basketball is officially done with its non-conference schedule. It only has SEC games left to try to get back on the right track. About 5 weeks ago, Arkansas was 11-1, and fast forward to today, Arkansas is 14-7 overall and still in search of its first road win of the season, which is, you know, kind of crazy to think about. But always happy to be joined by Andrew Joseph of Whole Hog Sports and Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. The Razorbacks most recently lost at number 17 Baylor on Saturday in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. They fell 67-64. Arkansas led by as many as 8 points early in the second half when Ricky Council made a jumper. He was pretty lights out, I thought, especially in the first half in that game. And but Baylor's star, Keontae George, a big-time freshman, hit probably three of the biggest shots in the game, last three-plus minutes. But Arkansas had a chance late. Joseph Pinion missed a right corner three on a really well-executed missed free-throw play that Eric Musselman said that they, you know, practiced all throughout the summer. I think he called it dagger. But just it didn't work out for Arkansas. And they came up just short, you know, what would have been a really signature win, would have been their first road win, you know, and it could have been the type of win that, you know, kind of changes the trajectory of a season. Bob and I got back from Waco around 4 or 5 Sunday afternoon. I thought it was a really entertaining game overall. And, you know, the crowd mix was really fun too. Like there were Arkansas fans traveled. And when Arkansas fans were playing well, it almost, you know, it kind of felt like a home away from home type of environment, really fun atmosphere. Bob, I guess we'll start with you. What were some of your takeaways from the game? It seemed like Eric spoke really proudly of his guys when we got him for about 10 or 15 minutes after the game. But I know he is not at all in this thing for moral victories.
Yeah, you could tell how, I mean, Eric Musselman doesn't take losses well, whoever they're to and whatever the margin. And that, I think that's what makes him a great coach too. But that was an especially tough loss because they were right there. Very tough road environment. You know, they fell down by 11 early, fought back, got up by 8 early. You know, it's a game of runs. So I don't necessarily look at it like Arkansas blew a big lead any more than, you know, Baylor blew a big lead. I think it was two very good competitive teams really playing hard. And it was a tough defensive game for Arkansas. I mean, in other words, they played really tough defense, held Baylor to season low shooting, 33-some%, and they shot well. I mean, normally if you shoot 50% on the road and hold the other team to 30-something, you're going to win that game. And but the free throws, as often as the case on the road, very different. I think Baylor hit 21 at 24, and Arkansas was like,
I think it was 6 of 11.
Yeah, 6 of 11. So I know that Baylor was a plus 15 in terms of made free throws, and that was really the difference in the game. But then Arkansas goes, like you say, George scored 7 straight points. He's an really elite freshman, and he gave him a 7-point lead, I think it was, with like just over a minute to play. And you're thinking, well, you know, that the game's over. Baylor's got a 7-point lead. There's no way Arkansas or anybody's going to come back from down 7 with a minute left at Baylor. And yet Arkansas closed within 1 a couple times and then really well-executed play, like you said. And you watch the replay, and when you watch it live, you're like, wow, you know, that was kind of crazy. They almost had a chance to win. And then when you talk to Eric and hear about how that was a well-executed play they worked on, they got it from Hubie Brown, you know, the longtime NBA coach Eric worked with the Memphis Grizzlies. And they worked on it since the summer. And then you watch the replay and you see Joseph Pinion being just to the right of Debo. And then as soon as the shot goes up, he runs to the corner, and they put obviously Kamani Johnson in for that free throw. And he'd hit the tipped in miss by Anthony Black that sent the San Diego State game in overtime. Mm-hmm. And you see that he and Jalen Graham tipping the ball out to Joseph. You see what a well-executed play it was. And it didn't work, but it was really well executed. Sometimes, you know, when you're going through a tough stretch, even when you execute things well, it doesn't happen. It was a tough shot for Joseph, as Eric, you know, I give him credit for pointing that out. Joseph only played, you know, less than 3 minutes. He had just come in with like 18 seconds left, and you're asking a freshman even though he's probably their best perimeter shooter, and that was his spot in the corner. That was just a really tough situation for Joseph, and I hope nobody blames him for not making the shot. If they do, I don't think they really understand basketball. But that was a really tough loss. But I think along with all the disappointment and frustration you could hear in Eric Musselman's voice, you also could, disappointment for the loss, frustration with the foul situation. I think you also could hear a lot of pride about how hard that team played. He mentioned that two or three times, and I'm sure he told the team the same thing. So, as tough a loss as that was, a great, great effort by Arkansas.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the thing that struck me, was over and over Eric was talking about how he really was proud of the effort and the grit and the toughness, kind of all the old football guy terms that you want kind of your basketball team to, take on. And those are kind of been the hallmarks of the last two teams that have turned their seasons around. They've played with really good toughness. They've played hard each and every night. And then, you kind of couple that with Eric was said he was really proud of the execution, not only the last second, the dagger play that Bob was just talking about that gave Joseph Pinion the last second look at, to send the game to overtime, but it was the half court trapping defensively that really slowed Baylor's offense. I think for over one stretch, they forced, I think, 18 misses on 19 field goal attempts over I think it was like almost a 10 minute stretch. I think it overlapped. I think it spanned the first half and early in the second half, and Baylor missed 16 of 17 shots at one point. I think to close the first half. So the defense, like the execution, and then, playing really, really hard and tough and in a road environment that's not always easy to compete in. Like Kansas found that out this year, last Monday they went in there and lost. So it's a tough environment to play in. But Andrew, what were your kind of takeaways? Did you maybe see the same things that we did?
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it pretty well. And I think you mentioned Keontae George as the elite guard, and Baylor has three of those elite guards, and Keontae George, LJ Cryer, and Adam Flagler. And, I mean, they played 33 minutes for Keontae George, 36 minutes for Cryer, 35 minutes for Flagler. And so you had all three of those guys on the floor for nearly the entire game. And I think Arkansas made them work to get those buckets. Keontae George did have 24 points, but he took 20 shots to get 24 points. And so, and I think he was 3 of 11 in the first half, got it going a little bit more in the second half. And that's probably a recent trend more of a season-long trend that Eric Musselman probably wants to figure out why his team is having trouble closing out games and opponents are heating up in the second half on them. And I think maybe some of that, as I mentioned, those three guys for Baylor that played the entire game as their go-to guys. And then you've got Makai Mitchell's is probably your big you want on the floor for Arkansas. Well, he fouls out in 16 minutes. Jordan Walsh fouls out in 19 minutes. I mean, and then you can't – I mean, that's hard to overcome. And then you couple that with your fouling. Not only are you fouling out, but you're giving them free throws. So that's essentially giving them points. They double you in free throw attempts. They win by three. I mean, that's hard to overcome at that point. But I don't think it was a loss where you hang your head, which sucks for Arkansas, because this loss counts the same in the record book as the loss to Hofstra and Little Rock. Like, and those are just two completely different losses.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mentioned earlier the loss at Baylor dropped Arkansas to 0-5 in true road games this season. Like, to me, the Baylor loss, given that, the Bears are ranked and they're tough to beat at home, like, it's a tough game to lose just because you were in it, Like, you battled back from a couple first-half deficits to carry a six-point lead into halftime despite turning the ball over 11 times. And, that right there kind of speaks to the level of effort that Arkansas was playing with. And that, if you get that win, it's a potential, I guess, trajectory changer in terms of, the confidence of the team going down the stretch. But I just don't think that there's no shame in losing to at Baylor by one possession. And that's why I was curious I texted you guys before we started recording, just Arkansas's 0-5. So we're going to do like a top five of like the toughest losses that Arkansas's had on the road. And I was kind of curious to see how you guys took it too, like five being the easiest of the losses to take and one being the toughest to handle. And I've got Baylor at five. I just don't think there's any, I don't think there's any shame in that. And you competed your tails off. I mean, and it's funny because you look back at the Missouri loss last week or the week before, Arkansas had four guys foul out, right? Three of them starters. Arkansas had, I think, two foul out on Saturday at Baylor, and then two other guys had four fouls. So Eric almost had that happen to him again on the road. At four, I've got Auburn. I just thought that, you know, Arkansas kind of started that game fairly well. Like they looked somewhat confident and comfortable on offense, and then the game just kind of got away from them. Kind of knew they were going to be in for a long night when Wendell Green starts the game with a 4-point play, and then I think a couple possessions later, like, he knocks down a right wing three on Devo, and just seemed like it was going to be a long night. And at that point, Auburn I think had maybe the second longest home court winning streak in the country, so not really any shame in that either, even though that's kind of a rivalry game. Like, Arkansas and Auburn have been, you know, going back and forth, playing really, really tight, fun, competitive games for a while. At three, I've got Missouri. Two is LSU. I just think Arkansas is going to look back at that LSU game and just really, really kick themselves, because I don't think LSU's won a game since that SEC opener. And then I had Vanderbilt at number one, just because offense had been such an issue. It felt like for the time that Arkansas had been struggling in SEC play, they finally get rolling on offense, but it's their defense. Even though they're a top 15 team in the country efficiency wise, like, they just, I think Vanderbilt ended up scoring like 1.9 points per possession in the second half of that game. Like, they just completely let go of the rope defensively, especially in that second half. I'm curious to see how you guys would, you know, kind of rank those games 1 through 5.
Yeah, I had them pretty similar. Yeah, Baylor, to me, that's an easy five. And that, as far, you know, tough of losses that was, as great a win as it would have been to get, you know, Arkansas played their guts out. You know, like Eric said, I agree, they couldn't have played any harder. Really put themselves in position to win, had some tough stuff to overcome, and just couldn't quite get it done. But that's a loss that I think people around the country would look at that and say, wow, Arkansas must have played really well, because, you know, Baylor's won six in a row. They're really, really good. I haven't seen the poll yet today, but they were 17th. My guess is they'll move up a few spots. Wouldn't be surprised if they're about 12 or 13. And then I had Missouri fourth, because as tough as that was, all the guys fouled out, and hard game to watch. Two hours and 40 minutes, 56 fouls, 33 on Arkansas. But I guess why I feel it's four is because, and Arkansas blew a 10-point lead with 5 minutes to play, and that's real hard to stomach. But I just thought that was when they started, after a really bad effort at Vanderbilt in the second half. I thought they showed a lot of fight coming back late. They did at Missouri, and Missouri, we saw them tear up Iowa State on Saturday. Missouri's really good at home. The only teams that have beaten them in Columbia are Kansas and Alabama. So I give Arkansas a lot of credit for you know, close loss at Missouri, 3-point loss, had a shot to win, even with all the fouls and everything else that happened. And then I had Auburn at three, because even though A&M, you know, took it to Auburn at Auburn last week, you know, like you say, Auburn started off that game, and Arkansas just was playing catch up from the get go and never could get them. And there's no shame in losing to Auburn. But, and then I agree, LSU has not won since that game. It was the first road game of the year for Arkansas, their conference opener. I think a lot of the players, I'm not saying they weren't ready to play, I just don't think they knew what to expect.
Right, I'd agree with that for sure.
And I don't mean like mentally and physically they didn't prepare. I just mean until you go through something, you just don't know what it's like. And a lot of those guys never played a road game. Well, they played a road game, but a lot of the freshmen had not played a college road game, and the other guys had not played, for the most part, not played an SEC road game. And so, and then Vanderbilt, that's an easy one for me, number one for me, because, you know, they had that craziness at the end of the first half with all the technicals. They had a 7-point possession. They had a 10-point lead. Looks like they're cruising. And then they just get their doors blown off, get outscored 63-42 in the second half. Eric, was very forthcoming after the game, saying they didn't play competitively or didn't show good competitive spirit, however you want to call it. I don't know if there's a bigger indictment you can have for a team than to say basically they didn't compete, you know. And I don't blame Eric for saying that. I agree. I give him credit for not sugarcoating things. And then, as he said, they've really responded since then. And he also, I think, was defending his team, you know, after the game Saturday, saying, you know, every team in the country goes through a bad stretch like what they had that second half against Vanderbilt. And it's really about how do you respond to it. And Arkansas has responded very well. Even though they haven't won on the road, they played much more competitively. So that's – I had them almost like you did, but I guess I flipped Missouri and Auburn.
Yeah, we've all got Baylor at 5. I think that was a pretty easy choice. That was an easy loss to stomach. My 4 was Auburn, just because I think they were on like some I think it ended up being like a 28 game home win streak before it just got snapped by A&M. And so I don't think there's really any shame in losing at Auburn. They're a really good team. It wasn't really a close game ever, so it wasn't like you really are having to stomach a close loss. It wasn't back and forth like the LSU game. I thought I had that at 3 just because it was back and forth, two struggling offensive teams, and I thought Arkansas maybe could have pulled that one out, but they kind of were their own worst enemy with turnovers and fouls and things of that nature. And then at 2 I had the Mizzou loss, just because I think, again, they had the 10-point lead with less than 5 minutes to go. They were outshot from the free throw line. Mizzou took 40 free throws and won by 3 points. So that's kind of difficult to get over that if you're an Arkansas fan, I would imagine. And then obviously at 1, I also had the Vanderbilt loss, just another blown double-digit lead. You lose by 13 to a program that's now under 500. There's not really a way to make that one sound any better than it is.
Yeah, if I could probably redo it, I know I just said my top 5, but I might flip Missouri to 2, just because you know you think about the free throw disparity. Like, Missouri does get 40 free throw attempts, like Andrew just said, and then, you know, Devo fouls out on a call in the last minute that, you know, the SEC officiating Twitter account, like, they dropped this statement saying that we not only got the call wrong, but, you know, we messed up looking at the or telling the onside officials that they couldn't review the play. Like, I just don't understand how that happens. That could be, you know, Missouri, whether they're ranked or not, I think they're top 25 caliber. Arkansas finds a way to pull that game out in the end, despite, you know, letting a 10-point lead slip. That's another one of those trajectory changers, I think. And that, I just think that for a fairly young team like Arkansas, is finding a way to win a game on the road would have been really, really big for their confidence. And, you know, I think they could have gone into Baylor on Saturday even more confident. Like, I think it was a confident team already, but could have been like a, you know, been there, done that kind of thing. Because Missouri is not exactly the easiest place to play either, especially when they've got a pretty competitive team. As Bob knows, the Antlers, they'll get after you a little bit. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers, or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
If you look at KenPom, I'm a pretty I'm a pretty steady user of that site. Just like to keep up with, you know, some of the metrics for Arkansas, especially like their offensive and defensive efficiency. And I think that's what kind of made Saturday such an interesting game to me, because Baylor was second in the country in offensive efficiency and Arkansas was top 15. I think going into the game, I think they were 13th. So that was kind of a no-brainer storyline for me. But if you keep looking at some of those metrics, Arkansas is now 12th in the country in defensive efficiency after playing Baylor, because they, you know, did a largely a pretty good job against a really high-powered offense. But they're pretty solid in a lot of categories, especially defensively. But there's one that is just really, really, really been a thorn in their side, and it's defensive free throw rate. That's like the rate that Arkansas is sending opponents to the free throw line. And right now, I think it's 38.1%. So Arkansas's opponents are nearly shooting 4 free throws for every 10 field goal attempts that they get up. If you look at that number in league-only games, it's 45%. So 4.5 free throws for every 10 shots attempted for Arkansas's opponents. How does Arkansas get that number down? I mean, it's, as you could imagine, like the full season number, I think it was 38.1. I think that's 309th nationally. It's not a spot that you want to be in. In league play, that 45% is, as you would imagine, dead last in the league. And it's, I haven't looked at what 13th place is, but it's probably not super close to 45%. Like, what can Arkansas do to bring that number down? Because I feel like that's like their biggest Achilles heel right now is just defending without fouling.
And that's a great question, a great stat. You know, you're 21 games in. I'm not sure how you make a big change in your strategy or how your team's playing when you're basically 2/3 of the way through the season. They are playing a lot of young players, and so you hope those guys will grow. And then you have, you know, like Jordan Walsh, who's obviously a very talented player, and he has the one game where he played 40 minutes. He had, what, one foul? Was that against Ole Miss? Was that the game? And then he has the Mizzou game, which we were talking about, that they probably win at Missouri if he plays. He had 12 points in 13 minutes. You know, he doesn't need to play 40 minutes at Missouri. If he plays 22 minutes at Missouri, they probably win, because he had just scored 5 to help him get that 10-point lead. And then he fouls out. And in Baylor, I don't think I've ever seen this before. He got 2 fouls in a second. They called a foul on him at like whatever the time was. And then they inbound the ball and he gets another foul. And 1 second is going off the clock. And so that helped Baylor, along with all the other issues, you know, giving teams extra free throws and your guys having to go to the bench or eventually foul out. Baylor was in the bonus, like with nearly 15 minutes to play in the game. And that's just a really tough thing, because that means every foul after that, they're going to the line, and they get in the double bonus a lot quicker. And so, younger guy like Jordan, I don't know, you just got to say, I'm sure it's frustrating. Some of those things look pretty ticky-tack. And then you see Anthony Black, like, gets tackled a little early, and they don't call it. So I'm not trying to sound like a homer here. Sometimes you just watch it go, how do these – are these guys watching the same game I am? You know, the officials? So – but we all know you don't get the calls on the road. You do at home. It doesn't matter if you're Arkansas or Arizona or Houston or Purdue or whoever you might be. But I think they just got to keep working on drills to, you know, not use their hands as much, use their feet more. But it's a tough thing to overcome, because this far into the season, I also think teams kind of get reputations, and players do. And I think when you get as many fouls called on you as Jordan Walsh does, you almost wonder if the officials are anticipating things and calling things on him that he didn't even do. But they think, well, hey, this number 13, I think he is number 13, right? Whatever. Well, he's going to foul because that's what he does, you know? And so I think that a little bit of his reputation too, when you get this many fouls called on you.
It's really interesting. I looked at Sports Reference on the way back from Waco yesterday. I think, Bob, I told you this. Jordan Walsh is averaging 2.5 fouls a game at home. And when Arkansas has played at neutral sites, in road games, he's averaging 4.2 fouls a game. Like, I don't know what the, like, is he just being more aggressive away from home or like in true road games, or is it, I just don't know. I really didn't know what to make of that other than just, man, maybe you just have to back off a little bit on the aggressiveness piece, because that's Eric's always said that about Jordan, you know, like he stabs at the ball. He's a long defender. And so, you know, maybe that length just puts him, you know, at a disadvantage sometimes. I don't really know what to tell Jordan. And I'm not sure Eric does either, Andrew.
Yeah, I think Bob, you kind of got it right on the head there with the reputation that Arkansas is getting as kind of a foul heavy team, and especially Jordan Walsh. Just, I think when you put yourself in a situation where you've been called for that many fouls in that many games in a row, it starts to become a trend and a reputation, and all of a sudden you've got officials looking for it, and when they're looking for it, fouls are easier to find when you're looking for one to call. And so I think I would say some of the whistles he's gotten have been probably a bit unfair, and I think but to their point, a credit, I will say that Jordan Walsh maybe has a tendency to not know his own wingspan at times. Like, his arms are just incredibly long, and I think maybe he loses a little body control at times. But the officiating has been made his job of defending a lot harder than he probably wants it to be. And I think Arkansas has a real challenge in figuring out how to solve this issue, because you don't want to strip away from your defensive aggressiveness or your defensive intensity, because exactly, then you just give up easy buckets. Like, there's not really a simple solution, because the simple solution would be play softer defense. And that's not really a good answer.
Yeah. Just don't play aggressively man to man.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which game this was after. It might've been after the Ole Miss game. And, you know, we were talking to Eric about not getting called for as many fouls, and, you know, he wasn't going to publicly criticize the officials, but he basically, you know, what he said in essence was we're not playing defense any differently than we have been. We're just not getting called for as many fouls at home. I mean, he didn't say it exactly like that, but that's if you had somebody interpreting it, like, here's what he said, here's what he meant. That's what he meant. And that's just a hard thing to explain, you know. I mean, like I say, you're going to get less fouls calling you at home, but is it going to be that big a differential? And so far, it really has been.
All right. Before I forget, Ricky Council was good on Saturday against Baylor. I thought that, I thought for a lot of the day, he looked like a pro. And I think I wrote that maybe he looked like the best player for stretches on a floor that, you know, had several projected first round picks on it. He had 25 points on 10 of 17 from the floor. Thought he was really great going at the mismatches that Arkansas, you know, kind of worked him into. I think there was a point in time when Baylor put this, I can't remember what the guy's name is, a tall white guy, probably had no business defending anybody on the floor, maybe other than one of the Mitchell twins or maybe Jalen Graham, but he kept getting matched onto Ricky Council, and Ricky did a great job. I thought lightning quick crossover. I think his crossover and his handle the other day may have been as sharp as it's been in a long time. Finished at the rim so well. And then he had his jumper kind of going too. I think he knocked down three or four jumpers. Arkansas just did a really good job putting him in some advantageous matchups, and credit to Ricky, man. He was lights out. And I found my seat in the media section of the arena the other day, and I was sitting next to a Baylor information technology services guy. He was just blown away by Ricky. I mean, it was pretty interesting to just kind of hear a different perspective on Ricky, because I think he scored 25 the other day. And I think he'd had 25 points total in the previous three games. So that was a big bounce back game from him. I think it caught a lot of people's attention that maybe, you know, if Ricky can continue like that self-created offense, knock down a jumper, maybe bottle some of that effort, intensity, and shot making, carry it into the rest of the season, I think that would be huge for Arkansas. It's not like, I don't think they need him to go for 20 plus every night to find good success, but if he can just bottle up a little bit of what he had on Saturday, that would be huge, I think.
Yeah, it kind of looked like early season Ricky when he was scoring, because you've seen his average go down from around 20 to around 16 something, which is still really good. But Yeah, and like you say, he was a variety of ways. He was getting to the hole pretty well. He was hitting the mid-range jumper. He hit a three or two. I think he got three free throws, made them all. If you're Arkansas, look, he kind of like Green did. He was scoring through some contact, but he wasn't getting the. You know, I think he could have shot a few more free throws. You know, maybe if that game was in Walton Arena, and or on a neutral site, not at the Farrell Center. But yeah, Ricky's offensively really played at an elite level, I thought.
Yeah, I thought maybe the most impressive part of his game or stat line was that he played 39 minutes and only turned the ball over once. And that had been a problem for him recently. And I think him maybe getting that confidence going in the early in the offensive end kind of helped out his game, allowed him to relax and maybe tightened his ball security up as the game grew.
Yeah, it was interesting. We asked Eric about Ricky after the game, and he was like, yeah, I thought he was really good, especially in the second half, finding seams in Baylor's zone. And then he went into, like, Devo's defense, I think, on Adam Flagler or something like that. I think Ricky played pretty well, but I think he only ended up with one board in the game. And that's kind of a tell that Eric's probably not going to be completely happy with how a guy performed. But I thought it was a really, really good bounce back game from Ricky. I thought that was maybe as confident as he's looked in a while. Next up for Arkansas is Texas A&M at home on Tuesday, 6 p.m. tip off on ESPN2. I hope that game can happen because the roads are not exactly cooperating right now. It's kind of slick outside. Got all my kids home today. I don't think nobody's at daycare, nobody's at pre-K, nobody's in elementary school or middle school. Wife is home too, so hopefully the weather will cooperate. I'm about sick of this Northwest Arkansas weather. But the Aggies, I think, right now are playing as well as anybody. And I think it's a kind of a big opportunity for Arkansas at home on Tuesday. A&M 7-1 in the league. Maybe one of the big surprises in the conference. I remember watching them lose to Wofford, I think, right around Christmas time. And they are just a completely different team since that point. Is there anything that's jumping out to you guys about them? I just feel like they're kind of a tough matchup. But like Eric said on Saturday, we kind of previewed them for the A&M game. They're just kind of a difficult matchup for everybody. I think Buzz Williams, I think he probably does as good of a job, you know, coaching his set of guys as maybe anybody in the league.
Yeah, coming off the end of the season they had last year, they were the last team left out of the NCAA tournament. They played so well in the SEC tournament, you know, knocked off Auburn, knocked off Arkansas. You got to the championship game and couldn't quite finish it out to get the automatic bid. But I think everybody left Tampa thinking they were in the NCAA tournament, and they got left out. And Buzz Williams basically read like a manifesto or something, you know, going after the NCAA about not getting in. I think after their first NIT game, and they had a good NIT run, got to New York and all that. But yeah, they were ranked going into the season. They had some really bad losses, like you say, Wofford and a couple other head scratchers, and then they've just turned it around in SEC play. They won at Auburn by 15 or 16 last week. And after that game, Bruce Pearl, the Auburn coach, said he thought Auburn was one of the top four teams in the league. And that, you know, and I know they're a tough rebounding team. They've got some older players. And they've always, I think since Buzz Williams, he and Eric got in the league the same time. They're both in their fourth seasons. And Arkansas, I believe, is 0-2 at A&M. They didn't play down there because of the COVID year, but they played up here and almost beat Arkansas when Arkansas was on a roll. And A&M had not played much because of COVID. And so they have a reputation of coming in here and playing very tough. And so I think that's going to happen again. It's really a game Arkansas needs to win. It'd be a really good win, even though you say, well, you expect to win at Walton Arena, but A&M's playing really well, and they're playing really well on the road. And so Arkansas is going to need to bring their A game. They can't hang their head about the Baylor loss. It's a tough turnaround because they're traveling back from Baylor, and then they got to get ready for this game. And it's not just that, you know, Trevon Brazile's out for the year and that Nick Smith's still out. But Eric talked about, you know, Anthony Black. We saw him. He was getting knocked around like a rag doll and was limping, you know. And Eric said he had something wrong with his wrist. And Ricky's, you know, banged up at this point. You look at the minutes Anthony Black and Ricky play. They're almost like NBA minutes, you know. And Devo's kind of banged up. And so quick turnaround, not a lot they can do physically to get ready. So it's going to be a very tough game for Arkansas, I think. But it's one they really need to get at home.
Appreciate you guys listening in to the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America today. Again, Arkansas and A&M on Tuesday in Bud Walton Arena at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. Yeah, like Bob mentioned, it's going to be a tough turnaround for Arkansas. Get one less day to prep after coming off a tough loss at Baylor on Saturday. For Bob Holt and Andrew Joseph, I'm Scotty Bordelon. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll holler at y'all later.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.